I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hyperthetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hyperthetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hyperthetical, HyperThetical.
You're listening to Muses. My name is Lynx, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of Muses. I am your host, Lynx O'Leary, and this week I am being joined once again by the incredibly magnetic Patty Johnson. So you may remember Patty from our previous interview. She's an alumni of the Rainbow Bar and Grill, as well as the creator of the Groupie Roundtable. Or perhaps you remember her name from the fabulous chapter that she has in Pamela DeBar's book, Let's Spend the Night Together. We previously discussed her time touring with Van Halen, meeting George Harrison, her decade-long job at the Rainbow, and, of course, the formation of the Groupie Roundtable. You can find all of that back in episode 108. I will link that up in the show notes. This time around, Patty and I discussed the term groupie, what it means to us, all of the misconceptions. We also discuss rock and roll decadence, the Almost Famous movie, as well as Patty's own Almost Famous tour moments, and once again, her incredible friendship with Motorhead frontman Lemmy. What an amazing guy. Wow. Patty is really one of a kind. She is naturally beautiful inside and out and has the truest, purest groupie soul. It is always such a pleasure to talk to her. She is a true groupie sister, and I'm just so happy that she came on again to share more of her incredible past. You can also check out our blog post that we did with Patty. She answered 20 questions. I'm going to link that up as well. And make sure you check her out on Instagram and check out the Groupie Roundtable on Facebook. Enjoy the interview. Patty Johnson, thank you so much once again for coming back on. The first time was such a pleasure. I actually re-listened to our episode that we did with you last week, and it was so much fun getting to relive that. And you are someone who has always been a proud groupie. You really claim that word. We claim that word too. And it's just so nice to have someone who completely understands what it truly, truly means to be a groupie.
Thank you for inviting me back. And you know, it's funny when you say that, it reminds me of when Sweet Connie passed away recently.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people had things to say, you know? And I posted a rest in peace on my page. And, you know, somebody came on to say, oh, she's disgusting. She had the whole band and la, la, la. And I just thought, wow, you don't get it, do you?
No.
Because Connie gave everything.
Yeah.
She gave it all. And she had so much love to give. And she gave it to all of them. Maybe it's not my jam, but Connie didn't do anything sleazy.
No.
Connie was giving them a gift.
Absolutely.
Everybody loved her for it. You don't become literally have the home phone number of Edward Van Halen if you're a slut.
No, and you don't get songs written about you. You don't get name checked.
Yes.
They all truly loved her.
Absolutely.
Like you said, she was a gift to them. She loved what she did. And again, it's really just, it comes down to people being uncomfortable with women owning their own sexuality.
100%. And think about how misogynistic that is. Like, I've only become more and more aware of it as I've gotten older. That's the gift of getting older. Mm-hmm. You know, your eyesight goes so you can't see all your wrinkles and you get a little insight.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating thing. And groupies specifically really get that so much more than I feel any other type of,
you know, you could do this with any woman's work or pastime or anything. You know, the women's volleyball team has to wear bikini bottom.
Yeah.
Right. The men get to wear shorts. We don't make these rules, but some women figure out early on in a way that strengthens them that they have something men want.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use that properly, however you wish to, whether you're Connie or whether you're a tease for your whole life, yep, there's power in the pussy.
There is power in the pussy.
When you figure that shit out, it is a game changer. But then they want to slut shame you. I didn't make these rules.
Nope.
I can't climb that corporate ladder. I will never make what he makes. I will never do what he does. But you know what? He wants my pussy. And there is that.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the volleyball team, for instance, that's different because those are men making those decisions for those women. This is what you wear. This isn't them being like, oh, I want to wear my underwear while I'm playing volleyball.
Correct. Correct. But it's similar in that we don't make the rules.
Oh, yeah.
Just like people of color don't make the rules that if they get pulled over, they might not survive it,
yeah.
Period.
Yep.
And what am I wearing? I may not survive the night without getting raped because I'm wearing something wrong.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so there, you know, we didn't make these rules, but if you know, somebody tried to be rude and say, oh, don't you think this could be damaging to women? Of course it could be. Being a groupie could be damaging to a broken person. So could being in a bad marriage. For me, it's like electricity. It can either warm you or, you know, fry you.
Yeah.
For me, I used that power. I took that power and said, David Lee Roth asked me to sleep with him. So how can I go back to Battle Creek and be sad because my 16-year-old boyfriend doesn't love me anymore?
Really, though, like, wow, yeah.
It's empowering. And people go, wow, you empowered yourself with sex? What did you guys leave me with? Do I want to go to school for 20 years, get a master's? You still won't respect me.
Yeah, very true. And yeah, again, it's like when women are making the decisions for themselves,
correct,
there's always going to be someone who takes issue with that.
That's right. Because they want to degrade you because, again, it keeps you down.
Yep.
So, for example, you know, even just the fact of being a groupie. I mean, I regret telling some of my stories because I think that they were taken the wrong way. No stories I told about anyone, no matter how kinky, wasn't someone that I thought was the most quality fucking person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like Billy may forever be known for shit I said about him, but I'll tell you what, he's the only fucking guy ever that continually checked in for consent.
Good for him. Wow.
And I never knew that's what it was.
Yeah.
There was no Me Too, but constantly checking in going, it's a bit wild, but it's all right. Yeah. You know, it's a bit wild, but you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a laugh, isn't it? You're okay. Constantly. And that's called checking in for consent, people. And it's called doing it in a classy fucking way.
Yeah. And making sure you're happy and you're getting what you want as well.
You're enjoying this.
Yeah.
And I fucking was. And so it's that making him something bad mm-hmm. or making me a slut is not accurate.
No.
It's not what happened. And just because the men are the rock stars mm-hmm. and they have the fame, people will say, how dare you tell those stories?
Yeah.
He was in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
My home. You kidding? That it's not my story?
Exactly. And that's an interesting thing too, because like you were saying before, women also get shamed for sharing their story because the rock star is the more famous one or something. This story that happened between both of you somehow belongs to them more.
Right.
The logic
Which is
there.
Why I was famous for that off the cuff quote. God, there are better quotes to be famous for. But when we were in New York and someone asked Patty Darbinville what they think Cat Stevens thinks about her talking about their love.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we were in love. Why wouldn't I talk about that? And I said, listen, it's not just his story. Yeah. And if you don't want to be in my life story, don't put your dick in it.
Yeah, exactly.
But once you do, guess what? You've now joined my book. You can be a villain. You can be a hero. Whatever the fuck you were when you crossed my path. Welcome to my story.
Exactly. Yeah. It is so interesting when women especially write their memoirs, like when Miss P put out I'm with the Band, and
right.
you watch interviews that she did back then and like the tone of them, the tone of the interviewers, it's unbelievable.
No, the slut shaming. Thank God Miss P was with us when we went to Dr. Keith Ablo. It was supposedly a psychiatrist that did talk shows, and they sold me, the producers sold me on, he wanted to understand the psyche of a groupie. And I thought, great, we're fascinating. Let's do this. Well, he didn't. He wanted to slut shame, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was told he was very respectful to the hookers from the Bunny Ranch. So I thought we'd be fine. Yeah. We were not. Backstage when he... first question out of his mouth nailed me, said, so you traded sex for your job with Van Halen, which obviously there's so much to the story. And Miss P is backstage with the Rocker Twins, my dear Rocker Twins from Grand Junction. And she looked at them and she goes, what a dick. Hold on, girls. Here we go.
Yeah.
Because she knew that's where this was going.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the men like Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm pretty sure he only dates like supermodels. No right. one like shames him for having a specific type that mm-hmm. he always goes for.
Right. Well, exactly. Like, for example, groupies are just a receptacle for a rock star's sperm. Well, is it better? Isn't that a little better than an accountant's sperm? I'm just saying.
Again, as long as you're doing what you want to do. And
well, that's true. Because listen, I have daughters, 27 and 24. And so they are they're millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see things differently.
Yeah.
But I also don't. So being held to today's standards, looking at yesterday with today's eyes doesn't mm-hmm. always age well.
Of course.
But it doesn't make me a victim.
No, not at
and
all.
And that's the hard part, because some of these some groupie pages are concerned because they're younger. They have a different schema, you know? We raised them. The Gen X taught these young girls not to let people fuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
But these young girls then hold us to something that wasn't the same.
Yeah.
You know, I was 14 years old when I lost my virginity, and That's something. So literally everybody after that was, you know, come on. Everything I ever did, I was a full participant in. I wanted all of it. And nobody did anything to me but these baby groupies that they talk about. Listen, okay, it is, maybe it does sound gross today.
Yep.
But when we were 14, oh my God, I would have fucked David Bowie in a heartbeat. Like, okay, lose your virginity to the high school boyfriend or to David Bowie.
Yeah.
I have a groupie friend, the coolest chick on the planet. I'll introduce you to her. She lost her virginity to Jimmy Page. Okay, I'm done now. We can...
That's an interesting thing too, because I feel that, like you said, a lot of women who did have that experience don't feel like a victim. It was consensual. We can look back, we have perspective now where we can say, okay, now we know better, where we shouldn't allow 14-year-olds to consent. But
100%.
I also worry about, like, you're not a victim, but when people are constantly telling you, like, no, you were one, like, right, aren't they kind of victimizing you? Like, they're rewriting your story. They're trying to tell you something. Right.
Thank you. Bravo. Bravo. That's exactly what I feel like. Yeah. I feel almost angry that someone wants to take things that were empowering as fuck to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget all the fun and glamour and whatever, but decisions I fully participated in, I don't like that. I don't like being told that I was a victim. I'll tell you when I was a victim, you know,
exactly.
Sometimes I was, and it had 10 million times more to do with one's family than what you're seeking out. Because when you seek out what you need, even as a young person, and you're trying to figure out who you are, like meets like, you end up finding your tribe. Mm-hmm. I was blessed. I wasn't harmed, taken advantage of, raped. I wasn't fucked with champagne bottles. I wasn't gang banged. Those things didn't happen. It doesn't mean that if you're fully participating, enjoy. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to tell me how to get off.
Exactly.
So I don't care. My point is, I was never faced with something that I would be uncomfortable with, because apparently there's a vibe, right? So the rock stars attracted to me, kind of like Midwestern, you know, chick and with some brains.
For sure. And again, I think a lot of people have a misconception that groupies are just one night stands. Sometimes that happens, but a lot of the time there's a real relationship there, a friendship, a bond.
100%. And people have one night stands all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sometimes they are, sure. But most of the time, because, well, maybe for some people, but that's why Connie's so amazing, right? They don't go back because she gives the whole fucking crew head. That's not why they go back to Connie.
Yeah.
Period. Because he can go with a supermodel. He can go, you know, with a stripper. He can go with his childhood sweetheart. There's a million women he has to choose. Mm-hmm. But Connie in Little Rock has something that she gives unfucking conditionally. And listen, you know, you hold them, you help them sleep. They wake up from nightmares. Sometimes they cry. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but these people, I mean, imagine the loneliness. We've all been here in our homes forever. Imagine being in a hotel room surrounded by no one you know.
Yeah.
Except that band who you're kind of sick of.
Yeah, exactly. You want some different company.
You want this. You want a connection. You don't just want sex. Nikki Sixx used to say, Jesus, I'd be better off with a blow up doll, but I'd probably fall in love with her too, because her head's full of air. Because the way it is you want, just because you're maybe pretty or maybe even good in the sack, if they wake up in the morning and go, oh my fucking God, she's going to start talking again, you'll never see him again.
Yeah.
You know,
so many, again, like Connie, there's a reason they always wanted her back. And there's also a reason why she went back over and over. You know, they treated her right.
Yes.
She got absolutely what she wanted out of it. And again, yeah, it's a bond.
She got what she wanted out of it times a million.
Yeah.
And I don't have a song. You have a song?
No.
That troll that was asking about Connie, you know, being disgusting. Yeah. That troll doesn't have a song.
Exactly. And now she's part of music history.
She's history. And my response to the troll, was simply, yeah, well, Queen Elizabeth has more class than I do as well, but I'm sure my friends will miss me when I'm gone. And that's the epitaph for Sweet Connie. People miss her, mm-hmm. you know, because she was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and they wanted to be in her presence, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Everyone loved her on the tours.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Speaking of tours and, you know, women making things happen for themselves, you have very much always been that type of woman. And I feel like most groupies are, you know, we see something we want, we go after it, and we get it.
100%.
You, from a teenager, were doing that. You were a teenager when you got to tour with Van Halen. Like,
I can't even believe it.
Right? Like, whoa.
I know.
Again, like, that's every male fan dream,
sure,
as well.
100%. Well, there you go. There you go, right?
Yeah.
How much chance does he have? Maybe close to what I have as a, you know, because if you're really eager and you're really always around and they think they can trust you, they probably would hire a dude too.
Of course.
But yeah, I feel like what that is what I've seen in every groupie. All my friends that are groupies, their life was the same way. Yeah. And it's about focusing on what you want, knowing what you want, having a goal, eye on the prize, and having no expectations.
And knowing your worth. I belong here. And you do. And I feel like that's a thing. Like, you know, we might not be musicians, but we've found our place in the scheme of
it. 100%. Because just this morning, someone was talking about how music saved them in ways that we can't even express. That's the other common denominator with groupies. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not different than the girls who are there for the music, just because they're having sex with these beautiful, you know, multifaceted men.
Yeah.
I mean, so stupid. You'd go out with that poet, that stranger, that'd be a whole romantic story. Mm-hmm. Make him a rock star and you're a slut.
Also, like, what if you meet a musician at a coffee shop? Is that somehow better because wasn't like the backstage experience? Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is. And, you know, the movie Almost Famous was great in a lot of ways. But for some of us, you know, Miss P, of course, and some of the OG groupies just kind of felt like, well, for example, Band-Aid's hard. I've embraced it now because I know Band-Aid's. And I know their heads aren't saying, we're above you, we're not fucking the band. That's not what they're saying. But it is a made up word. So that was tough for us, right? Because Cameron wouldn't just let us embrace groupie.
He played it safe. He played it safe there. It was like,
yes.
He didn't want to go all out, which is a shame.
And most Band-Aids I know are groupies. So that's why I understand it now.
Yeah.
But so that was tough. And like Miss P will always tell you, the fact that she tries to off herself over a rock star is no groupies we know.
No.
Again, playing it safe. Again, making Penny pay the price.
Exactly. And that's so frustrating.
Bad girl.
Yeah. Sapphire is by far the best character.
Sapphire's the one. Sapphire knows the fucking deal. And by the way, Penny is very, very sought after and everything. But Sapphire's the one that's everywhere.
Yes, she's the Connie.
She's easy.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Rock stars don't have time to wine and dine you. And, you know, they're in town for one night. So a chick that knows the score, she's literally there with a sign that says, I'm a groupie.
Yeah.
Makes it all so much fucking easier.
Exactly. And the ones that get to go on the tours and know the tour lifestyle, just embrace it. If this is what you like, enjoy it, enjoy the ride. Yeah, you're not expecting marriage at the end of it.
Oh, but you know what? You're not expecting marriage anyway. back home with the losers that you're also having sex with to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, listen, life's hard. Sex is hard. It probably is for guys too, but I can only speak for myself. And a lot of people didn't deserve to touch me, but you know, that's life. And I was fully participant.
Yes. All of it. Great. Again, like that's the way it should be, no matter if you're dating a rock star or the guy who works at
exactly.
car wash, you know, whatever.
Well, and this year, when I go back this year for the groupie roundtable, it will be my 30th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations. 30 so, years.
Yeah. That we're going to, we're both going and yeah. So that's the other thing, you know, just being authentic is really important. You know, I would have, I mean, the way I feel is if you're not your authentic self, then when they tell you they love you, you won't believe them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not being yourself.
And you're never going to be happy because you're never, you're always putting on whatever you think other people want
what
you
they
to
mean.
Put on.
That's right. And so completely being myself meant through all the stages of my life, all the changes that came through 30 years, he's still going, they want you on a talk show? Go do it.
Yeah.
You know who you are. They can't make you a slut because you're not one. Go.
Exactly. I love that he understands and supports. Oh,
yeah.
And
yeah,
that's wonderful.
Yeah. It's empowering to have your person, you know? And like Pamela said, when I fell in love with him, I remembered this line as closely as I can. And it was, I could hear her saying, Michael didn't love me in spite of my ticky-tacky past, but because of it.
Yeah.
He loved the whole person. Mm-hmm. He loved all of Pamela. That's refreshing because the Madonna whore complex is very real.
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, there are some men and I'm sure some women who once you're in a relationship, they don't want you to have a past anymore. They don't want you to own your sexuality and still be you know, who you are. They kind of want to pin that down. It might have been what they were attracted to, but suddenly it's like, you can't share it anymore. Yep. You can't, you know.
And that's not okay. My husband is, when I've said to him, gosh, you know, it's just so different having a relationship with you because I feel like if you're in a relationship where you feel like you're that dog on a choke chain, as soon as you get off that choke chain, you ain't never coming back.
Oh yeah.
But if you're the pampered poodle and you know where home is and that's where you're the most loved, you'll never leave.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's the thing. I have the freedom, but where would I go? My life is the best. So Almost Famous had this moment that I think is one of the best and probably everybody's favorite, one of everybody's favorite, the I have to go home. And then she says, you are home.
Yes.
And everybody understands that who's been on the road.
Oh, yes.
But I actually immediately flashed back to my your home moment. And that was when I was on the road with Van Halen. And this particular night, we had to get up at 3 to go to the next town. So everybody piles in the elevator. No, not the band. You know, this is a crew.
Yeah.
It's 3. Everybody's kind of grumbling, making noises. Everybody completely with their bags. And one of the roadies goes, it's only rock and roll, but I like it. Yes, I do. And everybody broke into a smile like, oh my God, are we actually bitching?
Yeah.
That we have to get up at 3 a.m. and go to another town and play another show with Van Halen.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That is absolutely the you are home moment. That is precisely what that scene was about. Like, yeah, you might have these moments where, you know, you're tired, you're grumpy, you feel like shit, but oh my God, where would I rather be?
Right? It's magical. It is like living the gypsy life. You are a rock and roll gypsy when you're on the road. And that's where you learn. Yes, in some ways, every city looks the same. In other ways, every city has its own light. Every city has its own vibe. Does not look the same in Cleveland as it does in Lakeland.
And I guess the audience audiences are different everywhere you go as well. Did you enjoy watching the audiences? And
you know what, I would actually say I discovered the opposite. It was so consistent because of who you were with. So if I was on the road with Van Halen, I knew even when I wasn't working for them, I could get on a Greyhound bus and go to wherever the fuck they were playing and go to the show and find people. And I wouldn't get hurt because the Van Halen crowd wasn't the crowd that was going to drag you out and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I found that actually comforting, that there's another You Are Home, you know, where if that's your band, then it just, as soon as you get to the show, it's like, ah, okay, now these are the people, you know, these are your people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess maybe it would be interesting to go to different countries with the same band.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that. And part of, you know, watching a show is, of course, the give and take. I mean, that's the thing. That's the part of being a groupie that I don't think you can ever stop, is I have so much love to give if I really, really love the band that I have to.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, it's not even a question. And that means front row, which if you don't know the person can be very pricey.
Oh, but, yes.
You know,
there's no place like it.
No, it's the give and take. Like Steven Tyler said, he said, we put it out and they give it back. Groupies are like our alter egos.
Yes, that's exactly it. Groupies are rock stars as well. 100%.
Yeah. Well, and in the, listen, maybe some of them, because I certainly didn't feel like one, but what a great way to feel like a rock star. What a great way to be a part of the magic without having to perform and without having to come up with magic that they go, where's the single? You know, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
I just get to, you know, support the person, give them my honest opinions, because music is my life too.
And again, it's not degrading. It's empowering.
Right.
And if it were degrading, we wouldn't be there.
So dumb. Same actually goes for sex workers. For me, that would be difficult, but that's because of my broken parts. But being a groupie would be difficult for other women because of their parts, you know? Yep. And so I look at sex work as fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, look at OnlyFans.
Yeah.
The reason they shut down the porn is because poor people were getting rich. You know why? Because the power.
Yeah. The power of the pussy again. Yes. Yeah. And people don't like that. People don't like that.
We didn't make the rules. But if these women, you know, the strippers in Hollywood made so much more money than I did. Oh my God. If I'd have had that gene. Mm-hmm. So that I could just go, bam, here I am. Then maybe I'd have done it.
Yeah.
Because that's as empowering as being a groupie. I'm 100% sure.
For sure.
So these women, God bless them. Mm-hmm. You know, how sad is it that I have a friend with a master's degree in education and they probably make half what just your average stripper makes. Yeah.
I know. It's wild.
And that's not sad because a stripper shouldn't make their money. Mm-hmm. It's sad because we don't pay women what they're worth.
I have a friend who's a nurse and she's also a bartender because even being a nurse doesn't make her enough money to live. And it's like, how is that a thing? You shouldn't have to have two jobs, a full-time nurse job. And like after you get off, you go and work a bar. That's crazy.
100%. I feel like your generation is fixing this.
I hope so.
You know, the boomers, listen, they were only working with what they were working with as well. Mm-hmm. But they raised us to question authority, right? They raised the Gen X to, you know, A, B, and C. And yes, we fucked off and we partied through the 80s and we were very decadent and we didn't take care of the planet. And we didn't do anything we were supposed to do. We fucked it up. However, we raised the revolution.
You did.
Gen X had these babies who tell us, oh, guess what? Not only will I question authority, you can't tell me what gender I am.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're fucking right.
Yes.
Because nobody better tell me who the fuck I am.
It's been wild and in such a great way to see the progress that we are all making right now. And finally talking about things that were so taboo to talk about before or not even on people's radar to even talk about.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great to see, like, I'm sure a lot of things are going to be way shittier in the next 20 years just because sure. of life right now. But like,
sure. But in many ways it won't.
Yeah.
Because I'm the next generation after the boomers. And by the time you guys get Gen X and millennials making all the decisions, shit's going to be different.
Yeah.
Because you won't have a bunch of people bucking against it going, yeah, that's not the way we've ever done it. So, you know, it's going to take that time.
Yeah.
But I realize, okay, your generation that we raised, this revolution, you're going to raise children and are.
Yeah.
That this gender stuff's not even a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not going to be. I mean, it's just beautiful. And the reason is because of the generation before. You know, don't shit on the boomers, because if it wasn't for the boomers, you wouldn't even have Gen X. And if it wasn't for Gen X fucking off and doing whatever they did and enjoying the fuck out of their 20s and then settling down and raising a revolution.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it all was the way it was supposed to be. And I'm just along for the ride. And I may not understand it all the time, but I really want to learn. You know, my oldest child is trans, and it's something that, you know, whenever people, including grandparents, have asked, you know, it's like, I just asked them who they are.
Yeah.
The only person who can tell us who they are is them. Why would you even question what they said about who they are on the inside? What does that even mean?
Yeah. Don't tell me how I feel.
Right. But see, that's, you know, how it worked. Every yeah. generation gets a little better. I'm stupid too. They, them is hard for me, just the grammar of it. But like I said to my child, I had to apologize because I realized that they had told me, you know, they, them is my preferred pronoun, but I'll answer to she or he, it doesn't matter. So I had to come to them and say, I'm really sorry, because I realized I cherry picked the it doesn't matter. Mm. And left out the my preferred pronouns.
Yeah.
Because it was easier for me to use the pronouns I've used since they were born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I had to apologize for that. But it's a learning curve, you
of
know?
Course.
I didn't even realize I did that. And I'm sorry, because that's not cool. You said what you wanted.
It's all about listening and learning and accepting that change happens and that it's good. I feel like a lot of older people, especially if they don't have children who they witness right. going through these changes and being part of it. I mean, I'm sure that helps so much. It's a shame that not everyone has people in their lives who are young to teach them, you know, that it is okay. Change is good. It's necessary.
Right. And once again, no one is getting hurt here.
No.
You know, people try and legislate everything.
Yeah.
Morality and gender roles and all of this bullshit. Just ask a person who they are. Move on. Who cares?
Yep.
Does it really affect your life?
Exactly.
If that person has the bravery to tell you, yeah, I may look like a guy, but I'm non-binary. So mm-hmm.
Or if a woman wants to sleep with every guy on the tour, what does that affect you? How does that right. affect you at all?
Getting married to it.
Yeah.
Some of these women have full-blown wonderful relationships and they get married, and I'm not sure marrying a rock star would have been any fun at all.
I don't think so.
But then other ones just want to be there. You know, they used to call us road angels.
Yes. I love that. And that's what yeah. you guys are. Like, that's
felt like, you know,
yeah.
kind of like a little bit of Florence Nightingale. You know, I'm here for the snuggles.
Yep.
Sure, sex is a part of it if people want to. But yep. I got to tell you, there was a hell of a lot more holding and talking than there was anything else. Because people just want to be heard, man. They have to be on all the time, right?
And like you just said, I feel like people don't really think about this, but I've always said, like, I'd rather be the groupie than the wife. Like, I get all the fun. We don't argue. We're not having, you know, commitment, relationship things. It's just all about the time that you spend together and having the most fun while you're together.
I actually said that to Yngwie once because I spent a weekend with him about 10 years after we broke up at the Mondrian, and he got abusive again and made me cry. And I said, oh, fuck this. No, 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 no. I'm not your wife.
Yeah.
You don't get to make me cry anymore. And he apologized and, you know, the world was my oyster for the rest of the weekend. But
no, this is not what I'm here for. I'm not going to allow you to treat me like that.
Nope. And listen, when I was his girlfriend, a lot more, you know, I let a lot more slide. That's what happens when you're in a relationship. But nope, only the good stuff, my friend. Mm-mm.
I wanted to ask you, do you have like favorite venues that you would go to see concerts at? Like, let's talk about shows that you saw.
Because, you know, I was almost famous for always going to Cleveland. I lived in Battle Creek, Michigan. And I think Cleveland was probably only about 8 hours away. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
On a Greyhound. So I went there all the time. So Richfield Coliseum was really cool. You know, Cleveland does rock.
So I've heard.
I love that one. But of course, I mean, the Troubadour, the Whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, Cobo Hall is pretty amazing. I mean,
when Shanti and I went to L.A., Dee Dee Keel took us to the Whiskey and showed us around and took us to the backstage area. It was so magical. And I was really amazed at how like intimate that place is. I was imagining it to be so much bigger.
100%.
It must have been so magical being in that small space with these incredible bands back then.
I can only imagine, because I only went to the Whiskey infrequently because I worked 5 nights a week at the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And so literally I made my days off so that I could go to the clubs like Cat House, Tammy and Ricky's club. So I rarely saw the shows at the clubs. But the thing about working at the Rainbow was like, it's almost like which I didn't realize till I was gone, is that you're like working in the green room backstage almost. You are backstage, because when the rock stars come in, they don't know the fans, they don't know the tourists, they don't know the customers, except the regulars. So the regulars and the staff is their family. Yep. And they, even if they don't know you, they feel more comfortable talking to you because they know damn well you're not impressed. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I was impressed, but I didn't act impressed.
Also, you know, when you're working, you have to interact with people. It's not like you're a fan sitting in the corner, like waiting for your moment to go up. Like there's a natural interaction that's going to happen, whether or not you're impressed, whether or not you have any interest in a particular band.
No, that's 100%. And it makes for risk-free matchmaking, you know, because you can go up and ask them if they want something to drink. Mm-hmm. And depending on how they answer and how you ask,
yeah,
you know, you can move on. And if they blow you off and you're embarrassed, you're like, whatever, I'm just the waitress. I'm not trying to get, you know.
Exactly.
To save a little face, you know.
We also got to go to the Rainbow, and again, another magical, you can feel the rock and roll energy in there. We danced on the dance floor upstairs. It was so amazing.
That's where I worked. That was my home for over 2,000 nights. I worked at the Rainbow. 2,000 nights. I drove the Sunset Strip to work and the Sunset Strip home.
Wow. And that was another fascinating thing. Like all of those places, these legendary places are like within walking distance. It's just a couple blocks.
I'm fascinated with the old Hollywood too. Mm-hmm. So what's wonderful is those places have been here since the early 1900s. You know, the Whiskey was a bank and the Roxy was a market, West Side Market, and the Rainbow was the Villanova. kind of a fancy famous restaurant, kind of like Ciro's, only smaller.
Gotcha.
So yeah, there's so much Hollywood history there, you know?
Yep. And because of that, it does draw everyone that you would want to
yes.
be drawn in.
100%.
It's just, it's so cool. You're part of that history now as well.
Yeah. You know? And I think when you're in it, I don't think you realize it.
No.
You know, I always felt like I was, I mean, in some ways on the outside looking in at the beautiful people. And then when you leave, you're like, oh my God, I was hanging around with the beautiful people. I was right in the middle of all that.
Yes.
I felt like I was on the outside. So I don't, but that's refreshing because really, do you want to feel like one of the beautiful people? That's probably a little bit full of yourself. So
yeah.
Probably refreshing to look back on it rather than.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. You don't want the ego while you're in it. You want to
oh
be
my
like,
God. Yeah, like, I had no ego. I was always the geek from Battle Creek in my head.
It makes it so much more special when you do feel like that mm-hmm. to be a part of this and to have these, again, it's like, it's just, it is empowering. It makes you know your worth. It makes you realize, wow, I'm here for a reason. They want me here for a reason.
Right. Yep. 100%. And it's so, these people are so magical to be around, you know, and the fact that there must be some sort of give and take. Mm-hmm. Or they wouldn't still be talking to you because they honestly have a lot. Like, for example, you know, Lemmy could go hang out with Nikki Sixx or Dave Grohl or, you know, any number of people. And he'd rather spend the evening at the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And we would talk all night and, you know, read lyrics and whatever. And he was hilarious and he was funny. But you see, you realize in hindsight that you had to have had something to offer these friends of yours or they wouldn't
absolutely
have wasted their time. And it's my favorite, one of my favorite Lemmy lines when he brought his lyrics was, he goes, I don't know about this line. I'm thinking about this one instead. And I said, well, you know what Jack Kerouac said, first thought, best thought. And he looked at me and he goes, well, that's just fucking lazy, isn't it? Yes, he was known for nothing else. It was laziness. So yes, oh, you're right.
Wow, that is good. That's perfect. Since we're talking about Lemmy, it was so beautiful to see how loved he was and all the tributes that are at the Rainbow now. Everywhere I looked, there was, you know, you saw something of Lemmy there. And he's one of the only rock stars I can think of that I've really never heard a negative story of. Like, women have just the most amazing things to say. He just seems like he was the most incredible.
He was truly an English gentleman. He had manners, he had intellect,
yeah.
And he was had that dry wit. And he was rock star in the millionth degree. And all my friends that haven't slept with him, like myself, oh, we wish we had. Yeah. Now, I mean, I say that a little bit facetiously because who knows what friendship, you know, if things stay the same. That's usually the reason, you know. I have a whole box of letters, you know. We wrote each other letters.
Yeah.
He was my dearest friend, and I was one of his friends. And that, I didn't want that to change, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as how sexy Lemmy is, yeah, that one would have been, that's the one that got away. I'll tell you that right now.
What was it like seeing him live? I would have loved.
Amazing. Because he was, again, so down to earth and so, I mean, he would practically roll his eyes, you know, except he loved his fans. That's why he literally performed up until 10 days before he died.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, even sometimes he couldn't play more than three songs and he'd have to say, sorry, guys. But he was trying because that's what he wanted to do. And so it was amazing, but it was also down to earth. You know, he'd be sitting there backstage watching the TV and it'd be the same guy coming back on every, you know, 10 minutes. Hi, I'm Randall Devereaux. And he'd go, Randall, we missed you. How long have you been gone now? You know, those kind of just little... And my sister going, I want to go watch the Misfits. And he goes, why? And then he goes, will you take Pat's sister to go, you know, puts the laminate on her, walks her to the front row, lets her watch the Misfits. He was just so, you know, I'd say, where do you want me to sit? And he looked at me and he goes, on my end. Side stage. What do you think? So literally the way he was just so matter of fact about things that are just everything, you know?
Sitting great. On Lemmy's amp side stage. That would be like a holy grail moment for me.
It was. I have to say it was, because there is nothing like the power in that room. There is nothing like a Motorhead fan.
Yeah.
And Mickey D, come on. This band is a tight three-piece, mm-hmm. and they kick ass. And if you're lucky enough to see Killed by Death live, or Overkill live, or Eat the Rich, you know, any of those, it's just, it's otherworldly. And that's why he is so famous, and yet definitely did not pass a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. Which is wild as well.
More money. He said, I made more money on Mama, I'm Coming Home, that he wrote for Ozzy.
Yeah.
Then he made on all the entire Motorhead catalog combined.
Whoa, that's crazy. But yep. like you said, Motorhead fans are like so hardcore, so loyal.
Absolutely. He's so good to them. Like, he never made people feel foolish. He used to say, manners don't cost anything. You know, he was never rude. And, you know, Dave Grohl, during his memorial, when he talked about how he met Lemmy at a strip club, and Lemmy was playing a video game, and that was his hero, and he was all, and he just said, you know, I just got to tell you, you know, you're one of the reasons I'm a musician and whatever. And he said, Lemmy just looked up deadpan and said, sorry about your friend, because he was saying he, you know, he'd heard about Kurt, and fuck all that, you know, rock star shit. Sorry about your friend. And Dave said that just changed everything, because Lemmy didn't say it as a sound bite.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to another human being. And the first thing he said to this, his biggest fan, was, sorry about your friend.
Yeah. It's not about being a rock star, taking the adulation. It's, let's connect on a human level.
Yes. Yes. And I saw him the year he passed. And I'm glad I did, because, I mean, nobody knew that was coming, you know?
Yeah.
He went out on his terms, that's for sure.
What a legend, my God. Yeah, I was thinking the last time we talked about like holy grail rock stars, and like, who would my holy grail rock stars be? And
right,
they're all dead, unfortunately. Like Lemmy, Kurt, Chris Cornell, Bowie.
Oh my God. And that is so much the case for so many of the groupies.
Mm-hmm.
In the gens after us. Because, I mean, even my guys are, you know, starting to clip the mortal coil, depending on how hard they partied.
It's crazy. The Gen X generation, like, not a lot of them are left now. Like, they went way too soon.
Well, and again, we really, really did the 80s art.
Yes. Yes, you guys did.
Charged, you know, they don't call it the decade of decadence for nothing.
Very true. And that's, I guess, also why there had to be such a big shift too, because like, where do you go from there? You kind of have to go the opposite way.
Yes. Oh, and grunge made sure we did.
Exactly.
Grunge was like, and that's all good night for you guys.
Yeah.
Put those bright, silly colors away.
Yeah. Put down the hairspray.
Mm-hmm. Take your makeup off.
This has been such an incredible chat. Like, thank you so much for coming on again. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before?
Oh my God, I have no idea. Nope.
Brilliant, because this is perfect. And I'm sure we can have another chat again. We'll do a part three another time.
Yeah, and maybe when it gets closer to the groupie roundtable, we'll do another one and try and figure out a way to, you know, hook as many girls up.
I love, obviously, meeting other like-minded women who take pride in who they are and aren't afraid to own a word that other people might have an issue with. That's their issue. It's not my issue.
No, 100%. And they can't make it my issue. Mm-hmm. That's what I always try, you know, because we always do, if we have any self-awareness, we're a little worried about how it appears, how things appear. But honestly, it, you know, if someone thinks I'm purple, I'm actually not.
Yeah.
So they cannot make me feel like a slut because I'm not.
Yep.
And, but, you know, it doesn't mean those things aren't hurtful. Slut shaming is the worst. I mean, empowering groupies are few and far between. People would much rather go the negative.
Yeah. And that's what, again, why it's so important to have these conversations and to try to, it's not that I'm trying to explain myself or explain groupiedom to people.
No.
It's that I'm trying to show you, look at it from this perspective. There's another side here that you're not seeing, and you don't have to be a part of it.
We're not asking you to participate if you don't wish to,
but respect my decision to be me. I'm just like, I respect your decisions to do whatever you want to do.
Right. Like, I respect your decisions that maybe I wouldn't do. Like, perhaps you find it like really important to only have a sexual relationship with one person in your entire life. You do you.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Would I do it? I think that's actually a mistake. I'd warn my children against that if I could. But, you know, I wouldn't tell them not to.
What's right for you is right for you.
It's not my life. Right.
Exactly.
No. And the groupie thing is, you know, especially within, you know, Instagram's a lot.
Mm.
Instagram can be mean girls, a lot of mean girls.
The internet is just more
Facebook
negative.
Facebook is your crazy uncle, and Instagram is the mean girls that won't let you sit with them.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That is definitely, you nailed it.
Yeah. So I kind of try and just do what I want to do, say what I want to say. And that's why I think I would find it difficult, to be honest. I would love to write my book, and I'm sure someday I'll write a book and I'll give it to my kids so they know, because a lot of great stories and stuff. But, or somebody maybe might want to write one about me. I have a couple friends that have talked about that. But man, selling it, that would be almost impossible. Writing it myself and then having them pick apart my life. Oh my God, I don't know. I don't think I need that in my the fall of my days.
It's definitely one of those things where there's a bravery there, and there's also like, no matter who you are, no matter what your story is, there are going to be people who shut it down.
And that's why I love what you're doing, because I find it really easy to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I find it really hard to perform. I find it really hard to, you know, write, because I edit it until it's completely wrong.
Yeah.
So this is the best. And then you can be your authentic self.
Exactly. Exactly. For me, it's like, I really enjoy doing this. And I love when women come on, because you're telling your story in your voice.
Right.
We're having a conversation. I don't want to fuck with your story. I want you to tell it, you know,
right.
even though I'm all positive for your story, no one's going to tell it like you tell it, you know?
And I think that that's what's important about having this ability to be around like-minded women, whether it's with your podcast, whether it's groupie roundtable. One of the women that came to the roundtable is an amazing groupie. Her stories are like, again, Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
But she said she never talked about it because she works in the industry and she just thought that people would look at her a certain way. Yeah. And once she was surrounded by all of us,
mm-hmm.
with the same experiences, owning it, going, who the fuck cares what anybody thinks? They wish they lost their virginity to Jimmy Page. And if they say they didn't, they're lying.
The more women who talk about these things in a positive way, again, it's mm-hmm. like generations. We're all building onto each other. It's going to make other women more open to sharing their stories and 100%. Being like, yeah, I'm going to own it. And it shouldn't be an issue. So like, let's work to make it not an issue by making it open. And
and just see what it is, because it's almost like there's not two camps. Groupies are band-aids and band-aids are groupies. And the girls that are there for the music, the girls that are there for the sex are also there for the music. You know,
I can get sex at a bar if I just want sex. Like, I don't have to go to a concert, you know?
I don't have to be I don't have to dress up, put myself in the right place, get myself where I need to be, and then be chosen, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't need to go through all that.
No.
It's about the music, and it's about telling them, you know?
Yeah.
And being a part of it and just hearing their stories. Like, honestly, Billy was so chill and down to earth and sweet. So literally the next morning, while one part of my mind is exploding because I'm going, it's fucking Billy Idol in my bed right now.
Yeah.
You immediately come back to this, just the person you've been making love with. It's not that big a deal, but for 1 second. And I said, so what's it like to be Billy Idol? Mm-hmm. And I did the quotes, and he goes, they want the lip. I give them the lip. It's a bit of a bit of an Elvis ripoff, isn't it? And he was just darling and charming. And it's those kind of things. It's not like you are with another human being and you're both acting too cool for school. You are two human beings connecting.
Yep.
In a billion different ways. Yeah.
You're connecting to someone whose music you connected to begin with.
And they see that you can see them.
Yep.
Because you're not going, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. Oh my God.
Exactly.
And you're not going, so when is your next album plan? You know, you're literally seeing him going, damn, what's it like to be Billy? You know, because now I know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're Bill Broad. I can see that clearly. You're gorgeous and beyond sexually godlike.
Yeah.
But you are a sweet fucking dude. Just
exactly.
A really nice dude. And so I think that's what helps, because I saw him, but I think they can tell you see them. Right? Because you're not tittering. Well, I did on the phone. Listen, there is something weird about being 1 degree away. When they call you on the phone, it's a little weirder.
Yeah.
When you hear Billy Idol on the answering machine going, hey, Patty, it's Billy. And you're just like, wah. So yeah, that was a little bit more weird. But
I remember riding in a car once with Pamela. Mm-hmm. And Robert Plant called. And like hearing Robert Plant on the phone was like, he wasn't calling me, but just hearing it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Listen, Miss P is and shall always be the queen of the groupies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, honestly.
And just her soul. And again, like, that's why she's the queen of the groupies. She's got such a pure heart.
I don't hang around with Miss P because she fucks them.
Exactly.
I hang around Miss P because she is love in all ways.
Yeah.
And they can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just, and she's inclusive. To me, that's the most important thing. And that will always be what my groupie roundtable is. She is an inclusive groupie saying, come join us. If you feel like we do, yes, let's feel good about who we are, rather than you can't sit with us.
Yeah.
I'm not a groupie. I'm a muse. Nothing against the name of the podcast. But, you know, some girls don't want to be known as anything but a muse.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a little bit exclusive, right? Because you can't belong to that club necessarily.
Yeah.
I would never go so far as to say I was a muse. And what's funny is Pamela is a muse. She never calls herself one.
No, she says I'm a groupie.
She's a groupie.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's like going, well, I am a queen, aren't I? You know? It's a lot, you know? But, so yeah, she's inclusive. And I like that, because you can always sit with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives the best hugs in the world.
She does. Just being in her presence, like her energy, you really feel it.
She is not cosplaying a hippie. like I see a lot of on Instagram. That woman's the real fucking deal, and we should worship at her feet appropriately.
As we do. And you are also such an incredible woman. And thank you so much for sharing your stories with me. And I love having these conversations. And this is just so fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sugar. Anytime.
If anyone's listening that hasn't heard your first episode, you talk about meeting George Harrison. We talk about Holy Grail rock stars, Motley Crue a bit, Van Halen, of course, more Lemmy stories. There's so much good stuff in there as well. So everyone should take a listen to that.
All right, Sugar.
This has been wonderful. Thank you, Patty.
Muses is researched, edited, and produced by Lynx O'Leary.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.